This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's exciting because it's not only the day before Friday, but one of my favorite people is here, Brent.
One of your favorite people? Is it me?
Maybe.
You walked right into that one,
yeah.
Folks. Welcome, everybody, to Newsmakers.
Slapped on that one, didn't
that
I?
Is Dave Bourne, and I am Brent DeHart. And this is a place to be to listen to local talk, to listen about what's going on in our Mid-Valley, in Salem and Kaiser, and beyond. And today we get to focus. We get some local talk after talking about some national stuff earlier in the week. And some heady kind of death sentence and homeless.
He was really deep.
This week, we're going to talk about Marion County. And we are pleased to have in the studio with us Commissioner Extraordinaire Sam Brentano.
Oh, now with that buildup, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah. We just like having you around, Sam. So, Commissioner, you go to a lot of meetings. We were just talking about that before the show. Is that what's driving you out of me wanting to be a commissioner now?
No.
It's like, how many meetings does commissioner take in a week?
What you're getting at is I announced I'm not running again for another term a few months back. I go into it a little bit. And some of it involves you, Brent, because you were around in 2003 and 2004. And I was appointed to fill in a year, finish out a term, and then decide what I wanted to do. Obviously, every 4 years, I lied to myself and other people that ask. I wasn't going to run. I'm all done. Accomplish what I can. Don't think I can do any more good, whatever. And then at the last minute, I'd start being concerned about this or that. And I can make up the list because it's always been the same. The bridge, the garbage burner, things that I'm interested in, want to continue working on. But this last time, and you might be happy about me, I knew I would lie to myself, so I sabotaged myself. I'll just say it that way. I let my registration, I canceled it and canceled my account, so I had no money. So I made it pretty well sure that no matter how concerned I was about the things I'm interested in Marion County, and I'll be 68. But there was something else that happened. I met a young woman. And this could scare people because I think she kind of thought like me, just so you know.
Uh-oh.
And I liked her. Danielle Bethel's her name. In the past, I didn't time out with you and another person that I had in mind, George Grabenhorst, just kind of didn't time out. But I couldn't find somebody. Not like we get to choose who follows us.
No,
but you sure
no.
as heck don't want to leave it open for somebody that's just the opposite, that tears down everything that you value. And so I'm quite confident that I found someone that at least in a whole different perspective, but will continue the basic ideas working for the good of Marion County.
So she shares your sensibilities, and hopefully she shares your frankness as well.
Sensibilities is an issue, but I know she cares.
What are the things that are important to you and how you like, you know,
well,
like to see things
kind
around
of
the county?
An overwhelming thing there. I got reports on the things she's accomplished. So she isn't just one of these talkers, you know, going into McKay and working on the football field and the school board and the chamber in Kaiser. So someone with a business background that can get things done. And basic conservative values. Yeah, I got to like that.
Yeah, I ran into her yesterday at the CEDCOR forum. And that was all about the legislative session coming up, taxes that were passed, things we saw in 2019. Those things were pretty educational.
yes.
But I saw her, and we're talking to Mayor Clark after, and she is a force of nature, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about Danielle Bethel. We're talking with Commissioner Sam Brentano about Danielle Bethel, who he has endorsed already, is running for his seat because your term will end at the end of 2020, right?
Yes. I want to, just to be clear on something, I love Marion County and the people I work with. Everybody will know that is not the issue. It's just time. I'll be 68. I didn't, as I talked about, meant to spend a year or two, and I'm wrapping up. I'm done with 16. I'm well into 17 years. I don't have any excuse. It's time to move on.
Yeah, I don't know if Dave's familiar. I don't know if we've told this story on Newsmakers before, but I take partial credit. You know, it's full credit when I can get away with it or after a couple glasses
of
wine.
Yes, you do.
that Sam has been this exemplary commissioner for so many years. I had actually filed to run for Marion County Commissioner. I had a group of interested citizens who asked me to take a look at it, and okay. So I filed really early. I filed like 10 months before the, or yeah, 10 or 11 months
before.
And
they forgot about you?
No. What happened was the incumbent that I was challenging, he resigned.
What?
It created a vacancy.
That's why there was an appointment available for me.
So several people stood up. You know, I was not eligible to be appointed, even though I was a named candidate. I don't ever told anybody this story. Now I'm telling on the radio. But I had not been a Republican long enough.
What?
The issue had I had been an unaffiliated voter.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I had changed my voter registration to Republican to run as a Republican.
Uh-huh.
But I hadn't been a Republican long enough under state law to be eligible to be appointed. So Sam gets appointed.
What is that time frame?
6 months.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So Sam stands up. I don't know Sam. I've never heard of this person. Who's the Sam Bertown? He wants my seat, you know.
Right.
And then I took a look at his campaign. I took a look at his, you know, his body of work and his life and who he was. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to go out to the voters and tell them I can do better than Sam.
Right.
So I ended up canceling my campaign. I ended withdrawing. And I'm like, I'm not going to walk around town and try to raise money and say, hey, I'm better than Sam Brentano.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So here we are. And we're 16,
look at,
17
look at your face.
Well, it sounds pretty weak to me. I think anybody could have done that, Brent.
No. So I no way I was going to run against you. I was happy to have you represent Marion County. I felt as though Marion County needed my skill set until the vacancy took place. And if the vacancy was filled by Sam, I no longer felt as though that the county needed my skill set.
Yep.
And I got one or two phone calls about Ward 7 and City Council. So I ended up withdrawing my campaign, switching and running to the volunteer position of City Council. And that's how that all
just
played out.
Just because we're on it. You've always been supportive of me, and I've known that. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. You know, as much as Sam tries to... I think he wrestles a little bit with how his frankness comes across, and I'm here to say that I love it, and most of us do. Even if they don't, I know that I think people that don't necessarily agree with what Sam is saying, they appreciate that he delivers it.
Yeah.
And that's a great attribute to him. So don't ever worry about that. And it's a great legacy to leave, too.
I've heard that before, but I want you to know that I do bite my tongue. I don't say everything, just so
what?
You know. Yes, it's true.
No.
I'm a world aware of this new world.
You actually have a filter on it.
Yeah, well, it's thin.
That's good.
Thanks.
That is funny.
I don't, so.
Okay.
Now that we've been here at Newsmakers over a year, Dave knows that he knows when my brain cells are exploding. He knows when I'm biting my tongue.
Yes.
And I'm holding back, or when it's going to come out right now. There's certain cues. You're listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to Sam Brentano, a Marion County commissioner. We're going to get to some of the county issues here coming up. Of course, we're only looking at another 12 months of having him in service here to Marion County. What a great team he has been involved with. And of course, he's endorsing Danielle Bethel, who just got elected to the school board.
Right.
And she went in running.
Right.
Right. Full steam as far as getting things done. Passionate woman. A lot of things happening in Marion County we're going to talk about here coming up. The garbage burner. Is there a possibility that the county could buy it? New juvenile facility. I always want to talk about infrastructure, as you all know. So roads and transportation, especially since we talked to Pope County Commissioner Pope about that a couple of weeks ago. And we have to do it. We have to ask how the policies on homelessness affect Marion County unincorporated areas. Lots coming up, so stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back, everyone. Brent DeHart here in studio with us is Sam Brentano, Commissioner of Marion County. So many things to talk about. So let's fire through some things. This is always interesting to me, and I know that you're the most knowledgeable person about this thing, is the Brooks burner, the garbage burner. Commissioner...
No, it's garbage. Cameron. Burner. That's Kevin's thing.
Kevin, he always corrects us. It's a waste-to-energy plant.
He's trying to be too PC.
Is this an option for the county to own it rather than the contracted?
I've heard that floating around a little bit. We haven't really had discussions on it, and I don't think so, but maybe long term. But can I take just a minute and kind of let me give my little speech about what I think of this garbage burner and our system in Marion County and why it's important. I'll make it real quick.
Okay.
But we take everything possible and recycle before it goes there. And then what's left is burned, electricity is generated, then metal is pulled out, everything's reduced, sterilized, and the ash is hauled off to Corvallis, to Coffin Butte, and uses daily cover. So, I mean, a complete process. But since 89, doesn't matter, it's 30 years, this plant has been working. The county took a big gamble on it. I got $80 million purchase price that we essentially paid for. It's a really funny thing I haven't been happy about since the beginning. We pay for, but they own. And that's how it is. But anyway, it's worked for 30 years and some side benefits, destruction of drugs and guns and medical waste, which is not supposed to go into landfills, so where it's supposed to go. If this facility isn't available for all of Western Oregon, it all goes to Utah. I don't know how that's a good deal. But the facility is terribly, terribly threatened, tied in with this, as I got from Denise Nanke, tax and swindle legislation. All they can see is that they can measure the tonnage, and they use tonnage because it sounds like such a huge number, of carbon dioxide coming out of them. Now, a landfill, you can't really measure that. It's open air and gone out. But they can look at this and get a number. So they only look at this and say how horrible it is. So a real concentrated effort's being made by the governor's office, by environmentalists to literally shut it down. But they don't compare the secondary part. You know, if it's going to be here, this gives off this amount of carbon dioxide. How much is generated when you drive it somewhere else, either Corvallis, perhaps Arlington, could put it on trains, that would help that. But then it goes into a landfill where it will decompose into CO2 and methane, which is, I heard different numbers, 30 to 90 times more of a greenhouse gas. But these people don't care. They only want to satisfy their fanaticism with the hatred of carbon, and they see a target and they want to close this down. They want to make it so expensive it can't be run, and it's not a happy day for Marion County.
There's a trademark phrase I use. It's called purposeful ignorance, mm-hmm. where people do not want to look at the facts because it doesn't coincide with their worldview. And so I'm wondering, that's leading to a question, any luck getting our local contingent, Representative Clem, Senator Courtney, to sit down and look at the facts and be able to present that to their caucus?
We're getting pretty good support from just those people you talked about. I just had it talking with Fred Girard and Peter Courtney's behind it. Representative Clem, we're having a fight in Woodburn. Representative Alonso has been told, I don't know, it's just a lie. She's been told there's a huge plume that comes out of that what would it be? Damages Woodburn in the migrant community. Where do they come up with that nonsense? I mean, it's made up and then accepted as fact. So we're going to have a hard job there. We talked to her last year and just didn't make any headway. But Sherry Springer, I'm not sure about Representative Evans, but I think we'll get good support. I think our representatives, certainly Senator Bowles, they get it, how important it is to us and be fighting for it. But I don't know if we can get past this environmental commitment fanaticism that I'm seeing that they want to do. And the governor's office is I think maybe if we can get it passed, I don't know if we can count on a signature there, which makes no sense to me, but that's what we're up against.
I think they forget that we all breathe out CO2.
Oh, no. It's,
right?
It's not to make it better for people. That's all there is to it.
They plants live on it.
They can't put past the fact that you're using natural gas to burn. And that is,
natural gas.
Wait, we're really not. That's just kind of a startup fire. It feeds itself at 1,800 degrees. The technology is what it is. It forces oxygen into this to make this flame. So if you're thinking it burns by natural gas, that's really wrong.
Huh? Huh? It is its own fuel.
Okay.
Yeah, purposeful ignorance. It does not fit my worldview, so I'm not going to look at the facts. All right. Do you think everyone will ever get built in Oregon again?
I don't think so, because there's been opportunities. In fact, the environmentalists use that, and I've heard that argument several times. If it was so good, everybody would be building one. But nobody wanted to spend the money to pay the premium to do it right that Marion County did. And I should just, you might know this, I fought it. I was the president of the Garbage Association in the late 80s when this was being built, and I fought it, not because it wouldn't work, but because we were paying $2 a ton, and this was supposed to open at $13. I thought, how can we stay in business?
Wow.
It didn't open at 13, it opened at 32, and then went immediately to 67. I don't know how we survived. Partly because Marion County kept good to their word and at least gave us the rates that it took to support it. But we paid for this, and the ratepayers have paid for it. Now to throw it all away is just wrong.
Yeah. All right, changing the subject entirely with no segue, which I'm fond of
doing. He's good at that.
The juvenile facility. You have a new facility. There's a ribbon cutting this afternoon. What was the need, and what does it serve?
Well, we will be. At 3 o'clock, we have a ribbon cutting for a new juvenile administration building. We replaced probably about 2005, the detention center, but kept all the old buildings. And I would tell you about my first impressions coming into the county and tours in 2003 and went to that building. And it's a scene that I've told this story before, but just a young, they're sitting on a fiberglass bench, a young 10-year-old boy with handcuffs and manacles, I don't know if that's the right word. And this place just depressed me. At the time, I knew Marion County was looking for a new dog shelter, and I thought how much more appropriate this building would be to use as a dog shelter than a juvenile facility. So we did move out, built a new detention center, but kept the old administration building. I've fought for at least 10 years, let's knock this thing in a heap, asbestos and leaks and just everything wrong. And now finally found, after we've been through all, I should have made a list, and it's such a long list, I have to think about it, but we've upgraded just about it. Well, really, every structure in Marion County in the last 10 years, within our cash flow, not that we didn't borrow some money at cheap interest rates, I might add, but in money we can afford. And if I get to look back, and you said you want to talk to me in November, I think that's one of the things I'll be proud about, that we've done this. So now we'll move the juvenile administration, counseling space to do the job right, and then we'll have the decision. And I still haven't been able to quite get it through to knock that thing in a heap like it needs to be.
Isn't it nice, Dave, that we have elected officials in the county that look to build capacity and infrastructure for the next generation?
Yes.
I wonder where else could we use that kind of sentiment? Oh, yeah, the Salem City Council.
So it'll be a big event. Our juvenile's doing a lot of good things. Troy Gregg is a director, department head in the last about year and a half, doing a terrific job. We've chosen some good people. I've been part of that. I'd be something else I'll be proud of, the people that we've chosen to lead our departments, just one after another, top in the state, top in the, I'd say the industry, and because of my background, but they know what they're doing and do a good job. I'm really happy about them.
Let's talk a little bit about, because I mentioned it earlier, roads and transportation. I know there's not a lot of signs where people know that I've exited Kaiser and I'm now in Marion County. I've exited Salem and now in Marion County. But there's a lot of roads that are solely in unincorporated county land. Mm-hmm. And the funds you have to maintain those or improve them if need be strictly come from the gas tax. Is that true?
Pretty much. Historically, a lot of it came from timber. I want to talk about that before I leave today. But like when I came, we had about $6 million that went on county roads. That number, because of production, is like $250,000 a year now.
Holy cow.
So on the plus side, though, you've seen these gas increases, and some of those are supposed to come back to the counties for road work. But we have more demands than ever. I've asked this question of public works directors, how did we build all these roads and bridges when I can't even find the money to fix a couple of them? How did we just build it? Did every cent we had go into it? Was it that just a bigger commitment? Relatively, the dollars are still the same, not the amount certainly, but it took so much of your total revenues to do that. But did they just make a bigger commitment, or could you just do a lot more with less in the day? I don't know, but that's an issue not just for us, but for all. We have a number of bridges that need to be replaced. There is one project coming up that'll be disruptive here. It isn't even a big bridge, but it's on the Silverton Highway, just past Public Works, actually. And we'll be replacing that in this next year. We're trying to work on a bypass, but it'll be disruptive to Silverton and all the East area out there.
When we're talking to Commissioner Pope in Polk County, he was remarking about how policy decisions that happen in Salem, the big beast in the county, absolutely affect what they can are able to do and the priorities in unincorporated land as well, and how it all ties in, how the transportation sector works. Do you think Salem is a good partner? Do you think we know how you feel about the bridge? Obviously, that is challenging because we don't have the circulation that we need, especially as you get from North Marion County trying to get to Polk County and so forth.
Are you asking me if I think Salem's a good road partner?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you no. And not that there aren't great individuals, but their policies, their tendencies, they're trying to push what's supposed to be state law, and I guess I'm supposed to push, to force you out of your cars, to make it hard to drive, to make it expensive to drive, not to provide the bridges and roads you need, to take like State Street and cut lanes out. So if you're supposed to make life better for your people, your commuters, your workers, they're not. And it's a fight for me.
I agree. I think we have elected six people in the Salem City Council, none to Marion County Commission. So please watch in 2020 as we're electing a new commissioner.
I want to talk about North County roads, could I, a little
bit?
Sure. Because you were getting into it. Are we getting short on timing? Maybe carried over.
Go ahead.
Really impacted by a project that I and Marion County support, Newburgh-Dundee Bypass. I think I go longer, and what we've tried to not allow Marion County to become a dumping ground for traffic from metropolitan areas. And de facto, if that's a real word, it did. It isn't a complete project, so it's literally dumping that traffic right out into St. Paul Highway and then McKay Road and out to the freeway, and it's causing all sorts of impacts. We've done everything we can. We've put bigger signs, rumble strips, brighter reflectors. The one I'm working on now is we have a new ability to make safety corridors, which you could, they had one out here going out to by Eola, if you remember, mm-hmm. A higher penalty, a lower speed limit. I'm really working on that. I don't care if it's 45 miles an hour, and I'll tell you why. People are dying. There's just right now, within 2 hours, I haven't heard the results yet, today's accident is how I'd call it, a rollover on French Prairie Road, but that area has been inundated by too much traffic going too fast, really brought on by Newburgh-Dundee. Related is the, if you've ever been through Donald, have you ever tried to go under that interchange to get to the service stations or restaurants there?
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. It's the most dangerous. You can't see. Trucks everywhere, winding, weaving. I could go into long ways. I'll take quite a bit of credit for complaining about it and getting a first step done. They are looking at it, made a new plan, going to make it some better. I made an appeal to the OTC just about 3 weeks ago to finish the project. Normally, they break projects into segments, and you can afford to do this much. But I told them, it'd take another, it's like $30 million. It isn't cheap. But you could, instead of spreading it out over 10 years or maybe never doing the second phase, you could do it all within this two-year window, so you'll be disrupting on the freeway for 2 years and done. Save millions. For example, they put up stoplights on a temporary, if you don't do the whole project, so it's a portion. So they put up a set in certain pattern
in
and a stoplight.
Right?
Yes. Well, you don't have to do that if you're going to do the entire project. You plan it one time, you do it right. So it saves money, saves time. They listened. They were pretty enthused. In fact, one of them said, this is what we're looking for, but now I got to push on that and not let it go off the burner.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to have to take a break. We're talking to Commissioner San Brentano of Marion County. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the forests. Another segment, so stick with us. You are listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Local Talk Radio. Welcome back. I'm Brent DeHart. In the studio with me and Dave Bourne is Marin County Commissioner Sam Brentano. We're enjoying our conversation with him. Prior to the break, we were talking about some roads and traffic and how difficult it is to work with the city of Salem when you have elected officials whose religion it is to make you uncomfortable in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So voters, if you weren't paying attention, if you didn't vote, if you didn't know that about them, we have six now councilors who want to, who believe that gridlock is a solution, not a problem. All right, moving on. Forests. I've been waiting to talk to you. So counties and cities collectively sued the state, said you're not managing the forests, and you've reneged on this agreement, and then you won the lawsuit and said, would you please write a check? So at the core of it is whether or not the state is managing the forests to its best, highest and best use and most profitable use, as some would argue.
You know, there's been actually three court cases on forests that different boards that I'm on have won lately. And so I just kind of like to go through. And the first one you talk about is state forests. And let me just tell you a little background how it happens. And I've read it's a two-volume book. And in fact, I might have it. I've been reading it during my lunch hours. And but the state forests were primarily like logging companies went in, logged the land, and then had no value for it, and literally didn't pay the taxes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or forest fires burned off the wood, and it had no value. So lands went back to the counties through foreclosure to where every county, or I think there's 18 of them, what do we do with them? And a good plan came up to have one entity, the state, manage them with the idea of sustained yield. Now, sustained yield, people have been hearing a lot of it, but it's just simply that you log or harvest less than what grows naturally. So you're always building, actually, in terms of timber and wood. So that's good. But then a number of years goes by, and there's other issues that come up to the state, environmental issues, endangered species issues, recreation issues, and those are all wonderful things. But the state, and I guess really the federal forest too, and it's the same issue, federal and state, they've done the same things. They changed the terms. Well, I'm going to stay with the state because they were given to the state in trust. Well, if you're my trustee and I tell you I'm giving you this money to manage for this purpose, that's all you can do. You can't just make up some other nice use unless I say that it'd be fine, mm-hmm. or you compensate it somehow. But the state said, no, we're not going to count this as a normal trust. It's our ground now. You've deeded it to us. We'll do what we want. Well, that isn't right, and that's exactly what this court case. Now, do we get any money out of it? I don't know. There's been a number of court cases. Our ONC and the Forest Trust lands, they always win them, but I don't see a big change in policies or dollars, but I'm hoping so. This one should get their attention. You look like you had a question, Brent.
Isn't some of the argument of the wording? Did the wording mean for revenue, or did the meaning word...
It's something highest use, best use, and then a little vagueness. But the judge said, no, this is just what it's for. It was sustained yield, maximum production of the forest up to the growth limits, and that's where it needs to be. Potentially, and not just Marion County, because we share it with other taxing districts and schools, but it's like $20 million, $9 million in the past, $11 million. And we just have a tiny amount. This, different than ONC, state forest is actually you get paid a year later on the actual receipts of timber harvested in your county. Mm. So we're kind of in the middle, not huge, but again, so Clatsop County, for example, it's almost all their budget. Well, they want it both ways. They brag how environmentally conscious they are and everything, but yet all their county money comes from timber. If you don't cut any, they don't have any. They can't figure that out. In fact, they, Clatsop County, weren't members of the lawsuit. So can expect no relief or revenues, although if it falls through, I think they would have their own suit.
Ultimately, it's just going to come down to a political compromise where, well, we'll drop the amount you owe us for a change of policy.
Now, you need to harvest what it's supposed to be. They argue, well, there aren't mills to do it. Well, if there's wood available, and what difference does it make, Brent? Is it better to be hauling it in from British Columbia and Brazil or working our own? And here's the key factor that we kind of stress all the time. It isn't just the dollar loss to the counties. It's the economic vitality of our communities. And you see it up and down. Maybe not, obviously not Marion County so much, but talk about Clatsop County or let's go down to Douglas County, Lane County. Where there were real jobs. Oh, our own Polk County right next door. Look at Dallas as that timber industry died. To bring that back, to bring true family wage jobs, infrastructure with the mills, the log trucks, what it could mean to Oregon to get back on track and not just deceive ourselves and haul it in from somewhere else.
I agree. I mean, it's you talk about a natural resource that's 100% sustainable, mm-hmm. right? And they don't want to use it. I think Philomath can probably know more about this. In Philomath, there was a community fund funded by timber dollars that sent like generations of kids to college. Generations of kids. And it's, you know, and then that dries up. And what happens to Philomath? And
now,
what happens
to them? I want to make the point. These things the state want to do that I talk environmental, water, species, that's all great. But they've kind of twisted around in the past and ask the counties, therefore, to pay for it. That's the reality of it. So if these things are important to you, then pay for it. And that's what I think these lawsuits will do, and I hope it accomplishes that.
I don't know if the audience and the listener knows, but, you know, you're an outdoorsman. It's not like Commissioner Brentano doesn't appreciate the recreational aspects of Oregon.
Right.
Right? You're a hunter. You're a fisher. You like getting out in the outdoors. That's the disconnect. They want to paint people who say, hey, use this natural resource to its best use and use it sustainably, like they'd hate the environment.
Let me stick with the
right?
state. You know, I agree with you. You've paid me just right. But I got to tell you one other story. If this lawsuit hadn't happened with a state forest, and its name's, he's a state forester. I think it's Peter Doherty. I may be wrong, but I listened to him talk. If we didn't get this lawsuit won, the state forest plan was to lock up all our state forests, to harvest none at all, and sell it as carbon sinks under this new tax and swindle. So think about that. And then he had the nerve to say, well, although we're not obligated, we would share those revenues with the counties. I said, so think of it this way. There would be no activity in our forests that were given for that purpose, for sustained yield and community vitality, and just shut them all down. Now I have one other question, and I asked them, they just ignore it. So if you've sold all this as carbon sink to make up for tax and swindle, meet those requirements, when that burns down, what happens? And it will.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to pay it back? How's that going to work? Anyway, I think we've got that stopped, and that's key, too. People don't know anything about that, but that's their plan. Shut it down and dare people to survive.
Right. We have a couple more minutes with the commissioner before we bring on Cowboy Ron, Sergeant Mike. So we got to do it. I have to ask you, how does the current mismanagement of the homeless situation in the Salem and Kaiser City limits affect unincorporated Marion County? Do you see that problem escalating? I know that Commissioner Pope said they're having a problem now on Highway 22 as people are pushing out of the city limits and occupying areas in, you know, both private land and public right-of-way.
Well, I made this statement at a chamber meeting a couple of weeks ago, and Salem's arguing with it and have come up with plans. But it's a dynamic event. Apparently it starts, Polk County pushes them out of some ground. They come downtown Salem. Kaiser just yesterday, if I have it right, set their ordinance in place. I'm told we're pretty well protected in Marion County already. And why, I just don't want Lancaster, East Salem become the next place that they want to come up. So we're going to be finishing a county ordinance that'll do just exactly what the other and make sure that it's as strong or stronger. This might be a good reason why I'm supposed to be done as commissioner, because I've just lost my heart. And I'm going to tell you, I'll say it out loud. I think that we're attracting our own problem. Certainly there's mental health issues, and I'm sympathetic and try to find them. But if it's just drugs and all we do is make it support people, you know, if it's cold, we set them up warming areas, provide them food, provide them blankets. This violates my Catholic upbringing, but I think we're facilitating it, and in my life, I've thought when people are doing wrong, they have to hit bottom to change, and we're never going to let them hit bottom if we continue to subsidize and approve of this kind of it's a mess. Even I just talked to my wife last night. She won't go down to Salem anymore. So what is that doing? Mm-hmm. To help promote a drug addict's lifestyle? I'm just not there anymore.
And a lot of people are feeling like TJ Maxx is exiting the downtown core and moving out of our downtown core because of the same situation. Like your wife, who does not want to shop down there and doesn't want to go.
Well, she doesn't feel safe. It's filthy.
Yeah. It is, you know, I agree with you. And actually, it was Reed Sund. We're going to talk about this a lot. He talked about stratifying. This is a population of people that had medical bills, lost their apartment, and they're homeless. They're working in a car, but they want a job, they have kids, and they want to get you know, there's that population that's totally different
Absolutely.
Than a population who just don't want to offer anything, and they do not want to have help, and sometimes they need more help than we're ever going to get them, and they're refusing the help, and then you have the persistency.
A meeting this morning talked about, here, we want to help give you a chance, we're going to give you a hand up, but if you won't take it, then there has to be a consequence.
So the commissioner is well aware that the Target Center, I can just visualize this when he talked about the Lancaster Corridor and parts of East Salem that are in unincorporated Marion County, they could go on the sidewalk in front of Target because it's not in the city limits. So the city of Salem can't do anything about it. We can move everybody from Nordstrom's to Target, and now they're in the county, they'd be your problem.
Mm-hmm. So
we'll send Sam out there.
Can't let that happen.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us. This has been Sam Brentano talking with us, Marion County Commissioner. We try to have a Marion County Commissioner on at least once a month for you guys to stay informed.
Oh, I'm supposed to say something nice about Kevin Cameron.
It's too late.
I forgot. Is it too late? Okay, I would have. I meant to.
It usually takes you 5 minutes to think about something. So we're going to go. Hey, we're going to take a break. Come back with Cowboy Ron for a few minutes. Thanks for sticking with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Horn on 1430 KYK.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to us by Sylvan Learning Center. And welcome back, everyone. It's Thursday afternoon and finishing up our lunch hour. And as usual, we have Cowboy Ron.
Hi.
And Sergeant
Howdy,
Mike.
Bonus.
There
Howdy
we go.
Bonus.
Listen to him.
Give us their take on the world. Gentlemen, what's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm just liking Trump more every day with the way he's going about taking care of that evil general. And just one shot, get it over with, boom. And now Iran says, we're going to get you back, and they shot a few missiles out into a bare field so they couldn't hurt anything, and because they don't really want to make him mad. And now that here comes the libs. They're coming on there and saying, oh, man, look what you did. You got them all stirred up. They're mad at us again. And Trump goes, so what? I know how to say no. I'm not going to give you more money. I'm not going to do this and this. We're not going there anymore. We're going to turn this thing around, and we're going to run it like a business.
Yeah, you know, an interesting thing is Trump, you know, my boy Trump, and I love him. But it's real good, a good feeling for me to feel as secure we are in the United States with all the military and the firepower we have and the accuracy of the drones and the missiles. But the interesting thing about the liberals, you know, jumping up and down, I think what they need to do is go to our U.S. military rehab centers and pull out the alumni of people that have got their half of their body shot off, their lower legs, their arms, half of their face, and look at the people that are getting their heads cut off and video to us in open public. We have a situation that we're involved with people that think they want to kill us, that's their goal.
They do want to kill us.
It's because they do want to kill us.
Yeah.
But again, I feel secure with the armament that the U.S. has, and I respect Trump for getting to these gentlemen.
I saw a post that I'm going to raise your blood pressure here right now, but the post basically listed well-known assassins, Sirhan Sirhan, John Wilkes Booth, and then President Trump.
And then, President Trump.
Because he's an assassin of this general.
Yeah.
Listed him amongst the world's largest, most infamous assassins. That's the category this person put him in.
Wow.
Well, all we can do is say, wow. The interesting thing about that is Trump, if you look at the situation he's in, and if people would just open their eyes and view it, we went after Russia, now Ukraine, and now he's a serial killer for protecting the United States of America. And but again, you come to my store, you come to Gun Crafters, once a day, we have veterans come in with their artificial legs and limbs.
They paid the price.
That did pay the price.
Yeah. I think I use the word coup, but it's a super power grab, and it can't be sustained, and people don't want to change because this is people. We're talking about power now. It's not about money. It's power, and they want to take control. And I just think we're running better than it was since I was a kid in the 40s and 50s. And World War II got over, and then pretty soon things started running pretty good. And Dwight Eisenhower was president, and people just, had sanity. This is insane what's going on now.
Well, it's still the party fight. I mean, it's a party fight. The Democrats are saying we got to get control somehow, but it's a party fight. People need to open their eyes. Go ahead, Brent. No, I mean,
you said you were going to go hunting. Go hunting chuckers.
We're going to go on a quail and chucker hunt here next week. The end of season is January 31st for the state of Oregon. You know, I might add that some of my dear friends went down and bought their 2020 license. The fees have doubled for a hunting license. Doubled.
How many people do you think bought a hunting license?
Well, I bought mine before 2020. I bought 2020s in 19. How many?
Yeah, you think there's 10,000 people? Or?
Oh, my God. There's so many hunters, you can't imagine.
Well, I just have a question. If you charge me twice as much this year as last year for my hunting license,
what are we going to get out of it?
What extra service do I get from
none.
That?
None.
I get none. So I just get to pay twice as much with no additional services given me.
Oregon state law, you have to have a hunting license to hunt mammals, to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody that shoots in the forest takes a hunting license along because you can't shoot a squirrel or a mammal or a tweed bird.
A tweed bird?
Yeah.
Tweety bird?
Tweety bird.
Uh-huh.
And
we're getting close here.
Oh, we're getting close to the end. So yeah. I do want to tell you, though, that the state of Oregon, the Game Commission, isn't talking about budget. So carry on.
Of course not, because they can just double your fees. I think that's the whole point. No more services, lots more money. Thanks, Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike. This has been Newsmakers. We're going to do this again tomorrow. Stick with us next time.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.